Drew is peeing right now. We're going to listen in and see if we can hear. I think I hear a stream. Oh, I can hear a stream. Wow. He's been doing a lot of drinking today. Holy shit, he's still peeing. My God. I wonder if he's ever coming back. Okay, he's back.
Yo.
All right, you ready?
Yeah, it's all these steroids I'm taking still for the poison ivy. That makes me piss nonstop.
Let's do this!
Let's do it!
Shut up and sit down.
What is going on, Dad? And welcome to episode 18 of the Dads After Dark Show, recorded on Monday, August 31st, 2020. We're your hosts, Drew and John, and thank you for joining us tonight for some Nintendo and my damn broken ass. John, how have you been, buddy? I feel like a lot has been going on in my life, in your life, in Nintendo's life, and just the life of Earth itself. So what have you been doing? What have you been up to?
Earth is great. Are you smoking something tonight?
No, I just think that, you know, it's just the pandemic is, the summer's over. Pandemic's still going strong. School start in a lot. Lots happening, you know?
It does. It feels like summer. It's like we lost spring and now, you know, there's still a few weeks left of summer, but the kids are going back to school. Your kids are not back in school yet, are they? Or are they? They're back.
No, not yet. No, we got pushed back 2 weeks. My son does start preschool tomorrow for the first time. He's been doing a daycare all along. So,
Bad year to start preschool. My kids started this week, or no, last week, and then this week they're online until next week, and then Monday my kids go back into a physical school, which
full time.
Not full time. One kid's 5 days, one kid's 4 days, one kid's 2 days. But I'm not super comfortable with it, but I don't know. I feel like things were better off. Colorado's not bad, but, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, how long are we going to be like this? I don't know what. Yeah. So whatever. Let the kids go to school before they go crazy.
Depressing. I hear you.
Yeah, it just sucks. It sucks. Not a good situation. So, did you say you're broke ass?
My ass was broken yesterday. So I've been
physically broken.
Physically, I didn't know you could do what I did, but I did. So here's what happened, John.
I want the details.
I spent probably 9 hours this weekend cleaning out my basement. As you know, I'm getting a pool. I'm trying to get everything organized. Going through the basement. I've been moving around a lot of heavy stuff. And, like, my knees were hurting the first 2 days. But then Sunday, I woke up. And you ever, like, bruise your tailbone? Or like really? And it felt like I had, like, a bruised tailbone. But kind of, like, between my tailbone and my asshole. And I was like, it's not a bruised bone because I didn't do anything. Like, I didn't fall on it or hit it. And then I was like, I wonder if I pulled my ass muscle. When I'm telling you, like, it hurt to fart. It hurt to shit. It hurt to bend over. Like, I could barely walk. And my wife's like, I'm like, Amy, can you look at my asshole for a second? Like, is there a bruise on it? She's like, nope. But, like, I just needed to know because I did take, like, a massive shit the day before. So I was like, maybe I strained my asshole. I wasn't sure. So I needed to get down to it. Like, did I bruise my bone? Did I pull a muscle? Or do I have, like, internal bleeding and I'm going to die? So I wasn't sure. So I needed some help. No help was given. And to my luck, I woke up this morning feeling a lot better. And I think it was just like a little, you know, strained, pulled ass muscle.
So, Drew, you're a young guy, right? You're like 27, 28.
No, I wish. I feel like I'm older by the day and my body is showing it.
I have to do one of those like old man, you know, you have to like teach the younger generation as they proceed in age. A couple of words that might become part of your life in the future anal fissures.
I don't want to know what that means.
You know what? I can tell you. I think everyone wants to know. It's when you basically tear your asshole like with a big shit, and it doesn't go away. But yeah, like it's gonna come back.
Have you personally gone through this?
This is something people go through, Drew.
No. You didn't answer the question, John.
No, you don't pin this on me. This is this part. Hemorrhoids. There's a lot that goes down there. And I will stop and say again, I cannot recommend enough. Get a bidet, people. Bidets are your friend. You're not 17 anymore.
I do want
keep it clean down there.
I'm not gonna lie. There's times I take shits and I just feel like I could wipe all day and I'm never gonna get it all. You know?
Yeah, it always feels like it's still there.
It does. It's dirty.
I went through a phase of a couple years where, like, if I did a lot of walking, like I used to go to Disney.
Chafed ass, worst.
The chafed ass. Oh my God. Oh, it is literally the worst. Yeah. And it usually happens. It usually happens because just lack of wiping or that's what it is. If you do not wipe fully, man, you will chafe so fast. Mm. I wish they had public bathroom bidets.
That's not very sanitary.
We have one in the house and it's just one, the master bedroom. And I really been wanting to put one in like all of the bathrooms or at least the guest room, but it'll change your life. But how did we get here? Anal fissures. Yeah, you can tear yourself and you'll see some blood down there. It's not a pretty picture. We probably need another podcast for like old Nintendo dads.
I feel like I'm at my life where I need this info, John, because I feel like I'm slowly breaking that mold and it's like I need to know about these anal fissures and how can I prevent them? Well, so
you may not know what you know something's wrong down there, but you can't identify it because you can't see.
What do you do? You go to the doctor, but I don't know. My asshole hurts. No. So, like, yeah, you're right. You know,
I'm glad we're having this self-diagnosis.
Man-to-man chat. It's a good chat. But I got to tell you something. You know, I don't want to get into what I've been playing yet. But before we get into the news this week, I got to tell you the best deal going on in Nintendo right now because I'm proud of them. And I don't think people talk about it enough. That 5% back in gold coins is fucking fabulous. I don't care what people say. Anytime you can buy a game digitally and I just get a free 5% back, that's pretty legit, if you ask me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it adds up. You know, I did a free game here or there. You know, it's great for like the small indie games. You know, you buy a nice $60 game. You know, you buy another game here or there. And then before you know it, you get a free indie game.
Yeah.
That stuff goes under the radar. I just wanted to emphasize, thank you, Nintendo. Thank you.
Well, you're an all digital buyer, right?
I'd say 75% since the Switch came out. I never used to be. Yeah. I still buy all first party games, Nintendo published. I'll buy physical.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Is this okay? Yeah. I know what game you bought. We'll talk about it later. But speaking of buying some games, right after our last podcast, we finally got Nintendo news. We got the directs. Mm-hmm. Everybody, there have been two directs since our last show. Yeah. And neither is a real direct. First, we got the Indie Direct, and then we got the Nintendo Direct Partner Showcase number 2, which, if you remember the first one, you'll know this will not be exciting. But you got a chance to see the Indie. I don't think we need to go through all the games at this point. It was almost 2 weeks ago. But any of those games you got excited about?
I'll just mention Hades caught my eyes. I know you too, but my other one caught my eye that you know that I liked. I think you actually texted me to on vacation for this one.
Yes.
Torchlight 3. It craved the itch of Diablo that I wanted. It was more of a cartoon fun game. I played through the entire game. I played through it once, one character, and I had a blast that it was like 25 hours. I didn't go back and play it again or anything like that, but it was fun. It's definitely just it has that Diablo feel of collecting and that isometric bird eye view, but it's not like Diablo or these other games where you really need to replay dungeon after dungeon to really upgrade. It's kind of a more of a linear type path. A lot of fun storyline wise and gameplay wise, but I'll pick this up if I have nothing else going on. It's not going to be the top of my list, but if I'm in a lull in games, I'll definitely pick this up.
Yeah, I think it's coming out in the fall, but we don't know when. But like, what, 23 days? Maybe.
The time. What about you? What was your like one or two big ones?
You know, when I watched the direct, I watched it. My whole family was in the room. We were all watching. I walked away saying like, there was nothing for me. And then since then, just seeing what other people are interested in, Hades also has caught my eye. They were on the Nintendo. I don't know if you listen to the Nintendo Power podcast.
Not yet. Like I have it lined up.
Yeah. It's the real Nintendo people. And they talked about Hades a little bit. They actually had the developer on. The developer is Supergiant Games, and those are the people that made Transistor and Bastion. So I was listening to the guy talk about Hades, and yeah, I was getting more interested in it. I was like, oh, this is really interesting. There's a lot of randomness to it. And I was like, I think I might be interested in it. And then they actually had a little segment talking about Transistor. That was like their game of the month to talk about. And yeah, so I got interested in it, and I ended up, you know, getting on the Hades bandwagon. And then I actually bought Bastion and Transistor on the eShop because they were both on sale for like $3. So I was like, so I am all in right now on Supergiant Games. And I'll talk about Transistor in a little bit. But yeah, so Hades I'm interested in. Spiritfarer, I was kind of in and out on it. It had some really nice cutscenes, but then I thought the main gameplay looked bad. But that one is on Game Pass, so I'm gonna give that one a shot.
I'm gonna look this one up because I heard a lot about this one.
Yeah, it had a pretty you create a boat, you build out a boat. I don't know, that just looked a little ganky. I'm gonna play it on Game Pass though because I get it for free, and I'm just gonna give that a try. So so I'll probably end up playing that. And then the one game that did catch my eye was Card Shark, which is the game where you're supposed to cheat at cards and make decisions and all that stuff. It turns out Card Shark is made by the developers who make, what is that game? I have it on my phone. It is, hang on. Reigns, Her Majesty. So there's a couple games called Reigns and Reigns Her Majesty where it's like a series of cards and you just make decisions. So basically you're a king and you make decisions. So it's like, you know, the person comes up to you and says, we should build houses. Should I do it? And you make decisions. And basically like your people will kill you or somebody will kill you. You have to like make decisions. And your goal is to be to have your reign be as long as possible. So I play that on my phone. Even to this day, I still play it. It's got some fun little achievements and stuff like that. So it turns out that's the developers have made that. So that was pretty cool. It just looks unique and quirky. So I'm definitely going to play that. It doesn't come out till next year. And then A Short Hike, which really didn't grab me when I was watching, but everybody is talking about that game.
Yes.
Everybody's enjoying it. And I hear you can beat it in a couple of hours. But if you want to try to fully complete it, it takes longer. So I'm definitely going to get on that one. It was on sale. I'm kind of like, if I wait on it, maybe it'll show up on Game Pass. So I'm kind of waiting.
Yeah, but the sale wasn't much. If I remember correctly, it was like 80 cents off or a dollar off.
Yeah, but it's like $7, right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to wait. I have a feeling it'll end up on Game Pass and I have things to play. So yeah. I think in the end that Indie Direct, even though at first I thought it was kind of lame, in hindsight I think it was a pretty good Indie Direct.
No, I don't think it was terrible. Just again, yeah, I agree, not for me. But I think it had a good diversity of games compared to the next one we're going to talk about, which was I feel a little more limited.
Yeah, the Partner Showcase number 2, and the first one was so bad I can barely remember what was on there. I guess there was a Shin Megami Tensei, but yeah, this one, I don't know if we have to really go through this one, but I'm excited for Just Dance 2021. I will admit I have not played Just Dance 2020 that much this year. I just got a little tired of setting it up and getting the Joy-Cons all set up for 4 people.
So I gotta ask you on these games, because I was wondering, I mean, you're legit just swinging around the Joy-Cons?
Have you not played Just Dance games?
John, you asked me that question everyone plays it.
You got young kids. This is a game that young kids love.
Really? Because my kids love dancing.
Yeah, no. Oh, they would love Just Dance.
You're kidding me. Do I really have to get into this?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of the Just Dance games are the kind of games that get really cheap. So if you went and bought like Just Dance 2020, I'm sure it's like $20 now.
Ooh,
they have a an online membership
that
I have subscribed to at least once. It's a pretty good deal. It's pretty cheap. I think it's like $10 or $20 for the year or $15 for the year. And it gives you access to all the Just Dance songs ever. But the songs that don't come with the game, they're network based. So they always like start off a little like blurry before they get into it. But there's like a gazillion songs to choose from.
But if I bought 2020, I'll get a ton of songs.
You'll get a ton of songs. Yeah. You get that one song that my kids want. Right. Well, if you buy Just Dance, like 2017 was the first one on Switch. And then you get Just Dance 2018, and then you're playing that, and you're like, oh, I want to play those like songs from 17, and then you got to take it out. So sometimes getting the unlimited just lets you have one cartridge. But yeah, you can just grab one of the Just Dances. I'm telling you, you can buy one of the older ones. They're all just as good. And yeah, probably get it pretty cheap. But I get it for the exercise. We play it for the exercise. I mean, it's not like I'm playing it 100% or anything. But Blackpink was on the last one, and so, you know.
Oh, God, I need to see that video. I need to see that video. $25 at Target.
Do you remember Justin Masson played Just Dance online? It was like a charity thing or something.
Yeah, I do.
And, yeah, I had him do a Blackpink song. There's a video of it somewhere.
$25 for 2020.
Yeah, and I'm sure if you can get 2019, 2018, they're even cheaper, so. Pretty good.
There's Frozen 2.
Oh yes, Frozen 2 is on that one. That's the entry point for your kids at that point, right?
Maybe my daughter would love this game.
One of the older ones, I think 2018 maybe. It has Let It Go. One of them has Let It Go on it.
Good Christmas present. I'll have to look into it.
Yeah. And then, anything? Did you see anything?
I got a tiny bit excited when I saw Kingdom Hearts. I've never played any of them.
Ah.
And you know me as a Disney guy and an RPG guy. Mix those together. Sounds fun. But then I was like, that Melody of Memory. Now I'm all set. The Creed Championships. I love myself Rocky. And it looked intriguing. Again, it's one of those games that's so dependent on when it comes out, which I think is next year, actually. What else is out? Like, that's something like I'm digging for a game, you know.
Next year is going to be big for Nintendo, but yeah, I thought it was good, funny. Per Schneider this week says he goes, the name of the game is like they took a bunch of boxing terms and threw them in a hat and pulled them out randomly. It is so true. It's a real Creed Champions, like weird title.
They named too much Rocky stuff, and they had to. But it looked like you were Rocky, not even Creed, but.
Do you like boxing games?
I mean, Punch Out, right? I mean,
yeah. I was gonna say, what's your favorite boxing game? Like,
oh yeah, Punch Out.
Punch Out.
Punch Out. I mean, did you ever play the old school Rocky games? There was some old school Rocky Balboa games on the PlayStation and stuff.
I think the Sega Master System had one too. I played a game on TurboGrafx-16 called Champions Forever Boxing.
Ooh.
And it had like all the legends like on the cover, George Foreman, Ali, you know, like all that. And I had a lot of fun with that one. But my favorite boxing game where you actually like a boxing is probably Ring King.
Okay.
I love Ring King. It was very animated and goofy. I mean, besides Mike Tyson's Punch Out, of course.
Of course.
Like just in terms of a real boxing game.
Dude, we were talking about it earlier this week. The Wii version of Punch Out, probably the best.
That's so good.
So good.
You know what I loved about the one the best is all the like there's three achievements for every fight.
Mm-hmm.
So you had a reason to keep fighting. I would love to finish that one.
I love too, like you see like the silhouettes of other contestants in the audience. So you're trying to guess. Like remember when you're building up to fight DK? I mean, and you see him sitting in the stands like, oh my god, is that DK? Am I gonna be fighting him? Super exciting times.
If they ported that one just straight out, I would buy it. Like, even if they added no content, I mean, I would buy it.
I mean, you probably could, too, with the Joy-Cons, I would say.
Yeah.
Probably would work really well.
Mm.
And the last thing that popped out, which we'll get to in a minute, but the Minecraft Dungeons Winter DLC looked a little intriguing.
Yeah, I think we have a little something to say about this one a little later. I had a quick story for you.
Yeah, I love stories.
So yesterday, my gaming group, for anyone who doesn't know, the Denver Retro Gamers, it's a group I started about 6 years ago or so. I'm no longer in charge of it just because I've really fallen off in terms of retro gaming. I just play a lot of Switch and a lot of modern gaming now, so I left it to the real collectors in the group. But we do every so often, right now we do it 4 times a year, so like seasonal, we get together and we do like a little swap meet. And it basically looks like a flea market. And what we do is we bring boxes of games we want to trade, buy, sell, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And when we first did this, like 6 years ago, I think I advertised it on Craigslist. And I did because I had a few Nintendo games that I wanted to trade. And I was like, oh, I wonder if there's people like me out there. And we had 4 people at our first meetup, just the 4 of us hanging around. And then the next one was like 4 people or whatever. And now it's grown. So we get over like 100 RSVPs.
That's
for these
awesome.
Things. Yeah.
That's
and they crazy. Are a blast.
So where are they coming from?
Just in the Denver area. And
that's crazy.
Yeah, we actually have people like far north of Denver and far south of Denver.
Come down, yeah.
We used to do it every month, and then it just became like everyone had the same shit in their box.
So
right?
let me ask you this though: Are some of these people come in like own a small retro business and they're trying to make money off of this, or is it all just like guys like you that are passionate, trying to make trades and find their, you know, hey, that has an extra $100 this month, I'm gonna try to buy a game or two.
Yeah, mostly. We had one person who had a shop, a physical shop way up north, who would come, but he doesn't come anymore. And there's been at least a few people that have like pretty serious eBay businesses.
Yeah.
And they come, they pick up stuff that they think they can flip for a deal. Mm-hmm. And yeah, which is fine because people can sell stuff for whatever they want. I'll definitely give people deals a lot. You know, if I feel like somebody really wants to play a game and I don't, you know, I'm not playing it or anything like that, I'll be like, yeah, here, no, have it, you know, or, you know, I go, yeah, no, you're gonna play with your kid. But yeah, no, the last meetup we had in person was January, and it was our biggest one, and we had over 100 people at like an arcade, and it was the most fun time, and we were so jam packed in. And then the world went to hell in March. We ended up having a virtual online swap meet in April. And then, yeah, we just decided to do it in person. So we did it in a big park, not far from where I live. And it was such a great venue. You know those, like, you know when you go to a park and they have those big, not gazebos, but like those, I don't even know what they call them, but like they're covered and there's benching and
stuff
like that.
Yeah, it's like what you see in Catfish. That's where they always go meet.
Yeah. So we had it across 3 of those. We got lucky because I think 1 or 2 of them were reserve, but, you know, nobody reserved them. And there were so many people, and it was like everybody was wearing a mask. We had like antiseptic stations, you know, and it was just great. It was like,
that's cool.
We didn't have any Karens coming and, you know, telling us they're not going to wear a mask or anything like that. I don't know what the guy Karen is. I got a bunch of cool stuff. I used to go to these meetups and buy so much retro stuff. I used to try to collect all the NES games. And nowadays I rarely buy cartridges.
Yeah.
A lot of people sell Switch stuff and PS4 stuff or whatever. So I'll usually buy like 5 or 6 things now, but I used to come home with like 20 different games and this. And I end up selling more than I actually buy, but like so much fun. There was so much. I got to post some more pictures of it.
People with
like limited edition, you know, limited run games collections and just like Vectrexes and just the craziest hardware, like every system.
It's crazy that one town or one city rather is getting that. It's not like you're coming. People are traveling for this thing.
I think a lot of
people in a small area. Not that Denver's small, but.
Yeah, no. And most cities have enough people. It's just, you know, people used to go to the flea markets to buy stuff. And now it's just harder to find things in the wild. It's hard to find stuff at garage sales. You can.
It's hard.
But a lot of people can just look on eBay and see the price of things. And a lot of people assume that anything they have that's old is worth a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a Facebook group. We keep in touch every day. we promote ourselves as much as we can. We have, you know, cards. We have game shops that will give discounts to our members. It's just amazing how much it's grown. We've done a lot of these in game shops. Mm-hmm. But obviously we probably won't be able to for a while. But like, yeah, just so much fun. And it was just really great. It was like the first time going outside and like being with like 50 to 60 friends of yours, you know?
Yeah.
No, it was absolutely. So nice. It was like, wow, I haven't had this in a long time. So it was great. I gotta post more pictures in the group.
Absolutely.
But, man, it was a good time. Whew. All right. So, what do you say? You think it's time to discuss what we've been playing?
Let's do it.
Let's take a look. All right, Drewski. Let's talk about what we've been playing. You and I have been playing one particular game together. You want to talk about it a little bit first?
Yeah, we can. You know, I'm excited. I've been super busy the last really week or two. Well, you know, Mayhem was fun last month. I played the crap out of Paper Mario. Then after I was done, I kind of hit a lull. I was busy around the house, and I was looking for that next game. I went on vacation, and then I came back. And I was, I played a game, which I'll talk about in a minute. But I recently, John, picked up, when did I pick this up? Friday, maybe? Saturday? Whatever we were talking to.
Mm-hmm.
So I went ahead with my amazing monthly Mayhem winnings. I purchased Minecraft Dungeons. Kind of off the recommendation of a few people saying it was good. But you in particular said you were playing it and you were mm-hmm. talking a little bit about it. And it kind of got me thinking, like, if anybody knows me, one of my favorite, if not my favorite genre of games is like a dungeon crawler, you know, upgrading my stuff, my stats, all that stuff. And the way you described this to me, which I think you nailed it, was it's like Diablo, but it's a lot simpler, right? I mean, it's made a little bit for the younger generation, and it's surprisingly very good. It's a lot of fun. I mean, you got to look past some of the Minecraft type level design, I guess you could say, is a little bit of annoying. There's a lot going on.
I think it kind of has a charm.
It has a charm. I think it's sometimes confusing on walk when you're walking around the map. But besides that, the game does an excellent job. I'm really enjoying it. I'm level 18, John, in a couple days. I probably put 10 hours in since Friday. And my wife plays with me sometimes. It's a blast. The kids love it. It's funny because when you mentioned it to me, we were out somewhere, we were waiting for someone. So I showed my son. I said, "Oh, look it. Do you know what Minecraft is?" He's like, "Oh yeah, Walter talks about that at daycare." So okay, Walter talks about that. That's good. He's like, and then I asked my daughter, "Hey, do you know what Minecraft?" "Oh yeah, all the boys talk about it at camp." So I was like, "All right, you guys want to watch Daddy play?" That's how I sold it. And then I was like, "Great." So the key to playing a lot of video games is getting your kids involved, even if they just want to watch. I'm sure, as you know, and they did. They suckered right into it, so they watched. But it's a great game. It's a lot of fun. Again, if you don't know, it's just the simple bird's eye type view, isometric. You're going around the hack and slash. They do a great job with keeping it simple. You have a weapon, you have an armor, and you have a bow, and then you get these three artifacts, which they call them, right, John? Which mm-hmm. are different. Variety of things. You can have like a Helium totem, you can have a pet, you can have like a firecracker arrow, you can have like a spell or two. There's different variations, so you can kind of change up your gameplay, and those kind of act as your spells with a recharge time. But a lot
yeah,
of fun.
I think I feel like the artifacts are in lieu of having a role. So like if you were like a healer mm-hmm. or something, you could just have healing artifacts with your party. Yep. So you don't have to like choose a role. You can switch however you want to, which I really like.
I liked it too, because as you get new weapons, you kind of upgrade and change your role almost, right? Mm-hmm. You know, based on what you get. But mm-hmm. a ton of fun. I'm absolutely loving it. I'll tell you what, I actually went as far as I bought the DLC. It was a great deal. $10, right? So $10, you get the old a jungle pack, which is a bunch of jungle themed levels. You get a couple new skins that you can change your character design. And a pet, And then it also gives you the winter DLC that's coming out this winter. So you really get both expansion packs, the jungle and winter, and a couple little perks.
Oh, okay. So you've already paid for the winter.
It's $10 for all of it.
Okay.
I mean, I think it was a great deal. Okay. Yep. So I just bought it all.
That's cool. Yeah. I started playing it, I think, around the same time, just like a day or two before you, based on Marty was talking about it with his kid. And when Minecraft Dungeons came out, my son was really excited for it. And I was like, yeah, we're going to play. I was like, I actually said, I'm going to take the day off work and we're going to play it all day. And then as it got closer and closer, I was less excited about it. And I played it a little bit with him on the Switch. And then I wasn't in the right frame of mind. And I was like, he had already started the game or whatever. But it's free on Game Pass. And I just thought, you know what? I want to play it. I'll play with my kid. And so, yeah, we've had a lot of fun the last few days kind of going through. He had a character from his Switch, but he couldn't bring it over for some reason. Maybe his Switch isn't linked up correctly with Xbox. Mm-hmm. So he started a new character. And, he's built it up to, I think, around, like, the level you are. So we're just finishing up the main island. We have access to the DLC just as part of it.
Yep.
But we haven't done it yet. But we'll probably do we might just wait for the winter DLC, play that. You know, new, and then come back and do the old one. But no, I'm really enjoying it. And I've been wanting to get back into Diablo 3. And then every time a new, every time the season's about to start, I'm like, I'm going to jump in. And I get so afraid of the time commitment, but also the complexity. There's so much complexity, Diablo, all this micromanaging of the stuff you get and crafting and all that. And I find that Minecraft Dungeons sort of takes away a lot of the complexity. And it's like here, it's like this, it's much more simple. You've got a weapon and you've got your artifacts and your armor and, you know, and I don't feel like I have to micromanage in this difficult world. And
I agree. I think the big difference with Diablo, right, is you're always striving to, because you're competing against all these people online in a way, you want to get that higher level, the Paragon level. I want to keep going. And to your point, the simplicity of Minecraft is I'm going to probably play through the entire game, beat the level, find all the secret missions, and then I'll be done. It doesn't matter what level I am. I beat the game. I had fun. I enjoyed it. With Diablo, you never feel complete.
There's always one more Paragon level you could get. I really did like Diablo. I think with Diablo 3, I don't want to get too into Diablo, but the game was based on a campaign, and then you play these little segments of the campaign. So they just drop you into this random world and tell you to get to some random part in the world. Whereas I feel like in Minecraft Dungeons, it's like, here's a level designed for this kind of play. We're starting you in the beginning, get to the end. And it doesn't feel so confusing, because we would get lost in Diablo. Like, where are we supposed to go?
Yeah.
So I really like this. And I really hope they do that, by the way, with Diablo 4 and make it just more simple like this.
So quick question before we move on. Did you try playing cross-platform with your son? Does it work?
No, we've been playing on the same. The Xbox version is more powerful, has better frame rate, whatever. So he's just playing with me. We haven't done cross. He tried to log in on his Switch version, and it was just dying on the login screen. So we just never did it. But it's supposed to work.
We'll have to give it a go this week.
We're definitely going to give it a go this week.
All right. What about you? You've been busy as well.
So I won't get too far into them, but I did finish my 100% run of Tomb Raider. Played that on the PS4. We went through that last time. I have since switched back to the Xbox. I'll tell you why. Cheater. I'll tell you. Okay. He's first of all,
cheater.
I 100% at Tomb Raider. I won't talk about it. It's still in my top 10 games of all time. So even after a second playthrough, I still say Tomb Raider 2013 is top 10 all time. It's just so good. I find the story really engaging. But the first time I played, I didn't try to 100% it. This time, I mean, I played it so slowly. Like when I played it the first time, like as you're going through the game, there's these optional tombs, which is interesting because the main gameplay has nothing to do with tombs. Everything that's a tomb related in this game is a side quest. And every time I saw one, I used to just run past it going, look, I'll do it later. I need to finish the story. Mm-hmm. This time I knew I was trying to 100% the game. So I would stop. I would do the tomb, and you would get a skill point every time you finished the tomb. So it actually really helped you out later in the game. You were just more powerful. Really enjoyed all the side quests. It got a little A little dry trying to 100% the game. There's these little items you have to find. So you might get into an area and you have to find 15 GPS caches or something like that. And there's these little shiny things that you'll find from time to time. And you can find them on the map. And a lot of it was fun and like, okay, where is this thing? Like, I'm near it. And you're like, oh, it's behind this box or something like that. I had a lot of fun doing all that and exploring the whole world. But by the end, it was like getting a little repetitive and dry. So, and there was really, I don't know if there was any value to 100%ing everything. So if you play Tomb Raider, definitely do all the tombs to get all the power-ups and stuff. But I don't know if there's really a need to, but I really wanted to, and I did it. So I'm super stoked about that. And then I also finished up my Fire Emblem Three Houses run with Golden Deer. I thought it was probably...
You did finish that.
Yeah, I thought it was my least favorite of the three houses, but it did offer some new information in the story. So that was fine. But I think I still like the Black Eagles and the Blue Lions more. So, but I've done all three houses, the DLC. The only thing I haven't done is there's an alternative run in the Black Eagles where you kill a certain character instead of letting them live. So maybe way down the road. But I by the end of this, I was getting really Fire Emblemed out.
Good for you. I'm proud of you, though.
Yeah, there's a lot of extra stuff you have to do in the game. And I was getting a little bored, so... I think I might be done with three houses, but I think I clocked in at about 115 hours total. So I gave that game. I exercised that one. Another game I've been playing, very rarely do I play online multiplayer games that are new.
Yeah.
That everyone's enjoying together. But I was one of the people playing Fall Guys.
I'm jealous. Jealous of this.
It's a cool little game. So Fall Guys is on PS4 only right now. I think it'll come out on other systems, but it's just PS4 and Steam right now. And it's also free. They are giving this game away for free on if you have PlayStation Plus, which I can assure you I don't. But in order to play online on PS4, you need PlayStation Plus. So I subscribe to PlayStation Plus for a month and the game is free. So for $10, I'll be able to play Fall Guys for a month, and then I'm going to let it lapse and I won't play again. Fall Guys is a game where you're in, it's like a game show. There's 60 people and it's all online, and it's just these dumb little stages that you play. They're like mostly like races to get somewhere. And the first 45 people that get there go to round two, and then they just weed you down. You get about like five stages or so when you get to the final, and then the one person that wins that stage wins. And it reminds me of Fortnite in a lot of those games, because you can play those games a bunch of times and you'll never win. And neither of us have won. My son's really good at it. He got to the final stage like four times, but he just couldn't win it. It's fun. You definitely... There's definitely some control issues. There's definitely some mini games that are just, they just suck. There's one where like half the people have tails and there's three teams and you have to chase each other and try to steal each other's tails. And you can only steal one tail. And once you have a tail, now you're running away from people and trying to keep your tail. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the stage, which is like a couple minutes, the team with the least number of tails is eliminated. Everybody's eliminated.
Gotcha.
So the problem with the game sometimes is you could just be on a bad team and there's nothing you can do. You can be the best player in the world. Like, look at that game. You could be the best player in the world in Fall Guys. The best you can do is have a tail. That's it. 1 point. You can't steal. You can't have 20 tails on you. You know what I mean? There's not much you can do. So it's kind of frustrating in that way. But overall, it's fun, especially when you're like right at the edge of qualifying. I definitely feel like it's a game that we're going to see other developers copy, because that's what the industry is all about, is just, you know, copying.
Yeah. And there's millions of ways to go with it.
Yeah. And I think you're going to see much better iterations of Fall Guys. So like next year sometime, you're going to see games that are going to blow Fall Guys out of the water. I think Fall Guys is a really fun concept. Not an easy thing to do, by the way. You have 60 people in like live action, right? I mean,
yeah.
Tetris 99 is on Nintendo because it's not a real-time game. You're not interacting directly with people in real time. Mm-hmm. So these games are hard, and you have 60 characters like hitting each other at one time. But I think we're going to see some better iterations of it. So I'm already burnt out on it. I'm already done with it.
Really? I can see that.
I'll tell you what. If I spend $10 and got to play, it was well worth the money. Like, that's it. It's worth the money. So I'm not sure if they're going to charge for this game in the future or it's going to be free forever on PlayStation Plus. But, I mean, if you have PlayStation Plus, definitely grab it. I mean, you definitely grab it. It's a really good time. And then just aside from that, I decided to finally play Burnout Paradise. I watched Tim's Let's Play of it when it came out. Mm-hmm. And I remember watching it going, actually, that looks more fun than I thought it would. It had a really good frame rate. It was like, wow, that looks really good. And it went on sale at Best Buy for a really good, it was like $25 or $30 maybe or something.
Because
I didn't want to pay full price. And I played through it. I actually rolled credits on it. It reminded me of Assassin's Creed. So it's like you just drive cars around this big open world city. And it's great. It's like a whole open world, completely seamless. And you drive around and there's all these things you can do. And like there's like five areas and some areas have like 40 bulletin boards. Like the first time I drove through a bulletin board, it goes 1 of 120. And it was like at that moment,
oh geez,
you're like, oh no, I'm going to try to get all these bulletin boards is what I'm going to do. Right.
But this is just an open world, like lobby level. Or is this an actual level?
It's one giant open world. And at every traffic light in the city, you can begin a mini game. And that's kind of the problem I had with it. There's like four or five different kinds of mini games. There's like a race. There's a marked man, which is like you're just trying to get from one place to the other without dying. Mm. And then there's a road rash one where you're just trying to knock people off the road. And there's one with like you do stunts and that's it. And you start off with like a Class D license and you're like, you have to do five of these events to upgrade your license. Okay, let me do that. And you do that, and it's like, oh, you got a Class C license. Now you have to do 12 of these events, and then 20. And then finally, like the last one, you have to do 40 events. And it is the same thing over and over. They actually clear all the mini games, because the ones you finish, you get check marks for. They clear them, and they make them harder, and you just do it again. And I'm telling you, it is so boring.
So
some of them are
the
really hard.
The point of the game is just this open world concept and you do mini games?
It's this open world concept. There's the mini games and then there is so much completion stuff. There's crashing through all the bulletin boards, which, by the way, reminds me of the stretchers. I think the stretchers, the game with the paramedics. Basically, that game is Burnout Paradise, but with paramedics because they have. You had to crash through bulletin boards and all that stuff. There's a bunch of bulletin boards to crash. There's a bunch of these barriers you go through, you crash through. There's like 400 barriers you have to find. It's just that. It's like finding all these things. And that stuff is actually fun. But man, doing all the events just takes a lot of time. Some of them are really hard. It got a little monotonous. I just wanted to finish it by the end. I thought I would go through and try to find everything and do every little thing. There is just so much to do.
But you did. You finished it.
I got my final license, but even after they roll credits, they say all the mini games are reset. Now, if you do them all, you'll get the elite's final license. Geez. And I'm like, it's way too much. I'm curious to know how far Tim has gotten in this game. It's too much. I understand they give you a lot to do and you don't have to do it, but like they give you a lot to do. So you're not going to get bored, but it is, you're driving the same roads over and over.
No, you have to change your car and upgrade and stuff.
Oh yeah. You find cars, you unlock these cars. And then what happens is they're racing through the city and you have to find them and then like knock them off the road. And then you win the car and then you go to the junkyard and you can drive the car. But a lot of the cars suck. And one problem I had heard about the game, and it's true, is this game comes with all the DLC. So there's these legendary cars that you get right in the beginning. But these are cars you would have had to pay for in the old days. So you can use, I use this one card. The legendary cars tend to be famous cars, but they're not named after them because of licensing. So like there's one car that is clearly the Ghostbusters car, right? Yeah. But they call it like the Manhattan Shadow or something. And the car I was using is clearly Kit from Knight Rider.
Yeah.
A little souped up, because when you would zoom, you'd hear it on the back of the car, like the little swishing sound. It's mm-hmm. like, whew, whew. But that car was like the strongest car in the game, one of the fastest in the game. So it was like I had an easy time with a lot of the events, especially early on. But if you were playing the game without the DLC, you really would have to like play through the city to try to find better cars to have a better chance. So but overall, I still actually liked it. I didn't mind having really cool cars to play with. It's like a first world problem. So it was fun. It's just, yeah, it was like Assassin's Creed. It's like the same things over and over and over and over and over. It got really boring by the end. So,
interesting.
Yeah. But it was fun. I had a good time.
Busy. That's a busy 2 weeks for you.
A busy 2 weeks. And I just started Transistor, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that's your next, more to say next game. Yeah. Right. You did something.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up what we've been playing, though, I do have one other game, John, that I probably sunk about 10 hours into.
Mm-hmm.
As everybody knows, I'm a big golfer, and I haven't played a legit PGA Tour game, believe it or not, in about 8 or 9 years since Tiger Woods 12 on the Wii, because that's the last Nintendo system golf game, believe it or not.
Right in his heyday, too.
Fun fact, the Wii had 6 versions of PGA Tour, all the way from 07 to 12, John. But anywho, PGA Tour 2K21 came out Friday, week and a half ago-ish, and I'm enjoying it. Like I said, I started playing the hell out of it, and I was like, I need to slow down a little bit, and that's when I started looking for Minecraft, because it's definitely one of these games I bought digital, pick up, and I can play a round or two. You know, one round might take 15 to 20 minutes or so, maybe a little bit more, maybe depending, you know, take your time or whatnot, maybe up to 30. But the game's good. So again, EA Games, EA Sports, I haven't played in a long time, so I didn't really know what I was getting into. And there's a lot of stuff to do. The game's hard, John. It's not easy. I think my first round out there, I shot like 10 over par. But they give you a lot of options. You can set your different settings. There's different 3 options you can pick from to, right when you start the game, that you can change at any time of how you want your play mechanics to work, right? There's something like rookie, amateur, and pro, let's say. And it just makes it so it's less forgiving when you swing and things like that. I just went all the way to the hardest pro. I said, if I'm going to learn the game, I'd rather just learn on the most difficult settings, right? Because what's the point of like starting easy and then having to like progress up? So I started high. The way it works is it's essentially the right joystick to swing is you pull it down and then you have to push it back up. The problem is it's all due on there's 2 factors. There's timing, right? So you have to go back a certain pace and go forward. Like you can't go back and hold it. You have to go back fluid motion. So it gets very tricky. Now, if you go forward too fast or too slow, you'll push it to the left or right. You have to do absolutely perfect. I had a hard time with this because if you think about if you're holding the Joy-Con, it's like you kind of want your thumb to be right like at the bottom, almost like perpendicular to it or parallel with it, depending which way, I guess. But or you kind of put it on the side. It was tricky. It was very tricky and difficult. You really had to find your groove. But it's fun. I started a career mode where you can play through like the web.tour as like as an amateur and try to make to the PGA Tour, which I'm currently on. It's fun. You know, you can set to how many rounds you want per tournament. All good stuff. Now you can also get like sponsorships. You can select like who you want to sponsor and you have to do achievements to kind of get those sponsorships that then pay you currency. In-game currency kind of lets you buy new equipment or new outfits for your character, which you can, again, customize your character from the get-go. Another thing that, Was it Bald Seagull in our Discord? I was talking to him about a lot of this stuff. He got me into looking into what they call societies, which is almost like an in-game I don't know, guild or golf lead, if you want to look at it that way. And what it is it's essentially you can join these, and there's different ones. Some of them are free, some cost money, and they hold like weekly tournaments or daily tournaments, and you might be able to win currency. So maybe you have to pay 200 gold to enter, but you know the winner gets like 5,000 gold, you know, second place gets that much gold. And they have ongoing little tournaments like that. So that was pretty cool. You do have to be careful. Like I found some, and I'm not good with all the settings and stuff. So it was like, I thought I played well. Then you see someone shoot like 22 under par. And I'm like, what? So overall, I'm enjoying the game. I'm really, really enjoying it. I think as far as graphically goes, I haven't had any issues with the game. It doesn't look like I kind of expected it to. It looks okay. I think that's just kind of probably the Switch limitations. But I'm not looking for anything crazy. And for me, it does justice. If you're out there craving a realistic golf game that's hard and difficult, it requires like a little bit of golf knowledge, right? There's a lot of plays where I found I was playing smart versus like the old cartoons. Like, I want power, distance. I want to hit it as far as I can, where sometimes you don't do that. You really got to play smart like you're playing real golf. So a lot of fun. Recommend it. Very good game.
Not bad. I like the idea of golf guilds, though, and just having people call you and say, yo, bro, running a quest, man. Let's go grab your golf clubs. Let's go. Leroy Jenkins.
But before we head over to our main topic this week, which I'm super excited for, we're going to do a little quickly monthly mayhem announcement, John.
Mayhem is back.
Woo.
I'm really excited for this one, Drew. Tell the people about it.
Yes. So this was kind of your idea, and then we hashed it out together, and we are doing a trifecta this month. I think this might be the first time ever, right?
I think three this is games, the first time. Yes.
Three games, and the September monthly mayhem is all about Metroidvania. Metroidvania. That's the subject or topic this week. Category, theme, whatever you want to call. And of course, it starts today when you're listening, September 1st, all the way to the end of the month, September 30th. We did a month that lines up perfectly, John. Easy to remember. End of the month. Be done. And like I said, we're doing it unique this month. There's three games. And we're going to give you the option to either play one or two. Hell, if you want to play three, you can, but it's not going to matter. So here's the rules. Should we do the games first or the rules first?
Well, let's go through the games here. And what we're asking you to do is pick two of these three games to play.
Correct.
So you have a level of choice. So we're this isn't like there's an alternative or anything like that. Nope. You can pick two of these three.
You can't pick one. If you only wanted to play one, you could.
Well, you're not going to win if you pick one.
You're not going to win, but you might get in the you'll get in the lottery.
Yeah.
You'll
get in the lottery.
So what's the first game here, John?
So the first game is what all of this is based on, and this is requested by a lot of people, Super Metroid for the SNES. This has been a very popular request. I've had two people request it in the last week and a half. This is a free game if you have online. And so Super Metroid, basically it's a competition for completion percentage. You get 1 point per percent.
Yes.
So you do 75% of Super Metroid, you get yourself 75 points. And what's fun about Mayhem is that there's two other games you can choose from.
Yes.
If you don't like it. So what are those games, Drew?
So the first one here kind of spots my interest here, which I have not played, which I'm interested, is Gato Roboto. You know, it for whatever reason gives me that Downwell type atmosphere. I think by the looks of it, right? It's kind of that very
same publisher.
8-bit.
Yeah.
Yep. You know, black and white type theme. And it's a similar concept of that Metroidvania feel. And short game, right, John? You've played this one.
Yeah, it's relatively short, and it's very much a Metroidvania, very much like Metroid, and that's why we went with it. But yeah, it's a percentage completion game, so beating it is not enough. So correct. It's going to take more than a few hours to win this competition. Mm-hmm. But it's a great game. It is a fantastic game.
I'm excited for this one. If I have time, this will probably be the one I play. And the third one, it's been around a little bit longer, but it's known to be a great for an indie, and it's called Axiom Verge. That's the third option here of this Metroidvania style, which, similar concept, right, John? I mean, there's nothing really too unique about this one.
Axiom Verge is almost exactly Super Metroid. The map looks the same. The actions look the same. The power-ups are similar. It's an incredible game. Everybody talks about this one. It is an incredible game. Well worth being here. And what I love about this competition is that all three of these games are very, very similar. Mm. And it's really like picking which ones you want to play. And of course, we have the free option in there as well. Mm-hmm. Both of these games, I think Axiom Verge right now is $20 on eShop, but it gets on sale a lot. So I'm not sure if that'll change this month. And Gato Roboto, I think, is about $8 or $7 on eShop as well. But
That one's a little bit cheaper, yep.
This is cool. I'm really curious to see what people are going to choose for their
game. I am, too. So here's how it's going to work, because there's a little bit upfront requirements. Number one, pick two of these three games that you want to play. Like John said, if you only want to pick one, that's fine, but you're not going to win. Because I'm gonna go out on the limb here and say there's going to be a couple people out there that might get 200%, meaning that they beat all of the games, which in case if that happens, those people that have 200% will go into a small lottery for the $15, and the rest will be thrown into the $10 random one like we always do with the number of balls.
Yep.
Now, number two. Before you start playing the game, we understand that all three of these games are older, and a lot of you guys may have already played them. So everyone out there listening to this is like, oh, yeah, I've already got a freebie. Super Metroid, I already beat that. Too bad. That's not going to work. In order for you to even qualify, you need to submit a picture to us using our monthly Mayhem entry channel in Discord, with a picture of your save screen that shows your save files. But here's the curveball. You need to either put like a selfie of yourself in it, or like a thumb up type. Just put your thumb in the picture with a thumb up. So we know. So we're making you take a picture of your screen showing us that you already have a file or that it's empty. And then you'll have to do that again after you play. So you play the game, and then you submit a picture again through the Monthly Mayhem submission Discord channel with your final result.
And those channels already exist. It's MM Entry and MM Submission. So, yeah, like Drew said, make sure you take that picture before you play, because we want to make sure we see your save, right? We want to see your save slots. And then we want to see your save slots when you're done, because we want to make sure you're playing this again. And I have played through Gato Roboto. I didn't get anywhere near 100%, so I can tell you I'm going to play that one again.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to show you a picture of my first save, and then when I finish the game, you're going to see my second save. So that's why we're doing it. You can't just, take a picture of your old 100%. You got to do it again.
Exactly. So this will be fun. This will be live. We'll have a graphic posted for you guys when you're listening to this in our Discord channel. So in case you forget any of these rules, they're pretty straightforward this month. But you'll see the graphic there tomorrow morning.
Yep. 1 point per percentage. That'd be fun. I think we're going to need to 100% these games if you want a chance to win. Mm-hmm. So, it's so fun. They're all in the thing. I can tell you right now, I'm going to do Gato and Axiom Verge. I'm just not a big Super Metroid fan, but I get the feeling Tim's going to be playing Super Metroid, and definitely know a few others that will as well. So
I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet. The Roboto seems intriguing to me. So worst case, I'm going to play at least one. I did win last month, so I'm kind of defaulted that I can't win, but that's not an excuse not to play.
It's going to be a good time.
Absolutely.
All right.
So we should get started. Let's do this. I'm ready. I'm excited.
Let's go to the other side and let's get to it. All right, Drew, I've been waiting 2 weeks for this. We pre-planned it. I was a little worried there might be a Nintendo Direct, but we didn't get the ones that we kind of thought we would. So here's what we're doing. We ran a contest, and we're going to be giving away some prizes today. The contest was to submit a question to us to answer on the show. And we got 12 questions this week. And for every person that asked a question, we are going to put you in a random drawing, and the winner gets a $10 eShop card. Additionally, I said if you retweet the tweet of the contest, you would be in a contest to win another $10. You could even win twice. Okay? We're not even going to eliminate you. And we got 17 retweets. And thanks to you guys, we gained a bunch of followers. So you help us, we help you.
I like that.
Yep. And the retweeters will be in another $10 eShop prize. So anybody could win two if they did both. Obviously, they didn't because we have more retweets than questions. But we're going to go through the questions and then we're going to run the contest. So we're going to kind of speed through this. There's obviously 12 questions. We don't want a long, boring Q&A session. So we're just going to go through. And first question comes from Tim. Alternate universe questions. The Nintendo PlayStation launches as originally planned. What would Nintendo and Sony be like today if that launch system was successful or not successful? Drew, why don't you tackle it being successful, and I'll tackle the not successful.
I mean, a great question there. Great question. I think we would see a little bit more mature Zelda. I think that's what we would definitely see on that aspect of it. I'd be interested to see certain crossover in games, and I wonder how that would work. But as far as, I mean, I think that that's a tough answer. That's a tough question, John. I don't know. I just think that you'd see a lot of interaction with the stories. I'd like to see exactly where the, like I said, certain games and IPs would go and how they would cross over. As far as the systems goes, I think you would have similar to what we have today with a Switch, but I think you'd have a very more powerful Switch in a way. I don't think you would see any hindrance in the graphics.
Sony
would help in that portion of it, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time, then you'd see a price increase. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for that one, really.
I wonder where Sega would be, because Sega dropped out of the Nintendo, Microsoft, PlayStation wars. And if Nintendo PlayStation was one thing, would there be room for a third competitor instead of a fourth competitor? So maybe Sega would still be making hardware. If they were not successful, and I mean, you know, they really weren't. But if the thing launched, as Tim is asking, and it wasn't successful, I have a feeling that Nintendo would carry on, because a lot of their consoles have not been successful, right?
Agreed.
We've seen the Virtual Boy fail. Largely the N64 and GameCube and especially the Wii U were, you know, not great sellers. But I think Nintendo would just carry on with the next console. And I think the biggest difference is I think Sony wouldn't even be in the market. Maybe they would be like, look, if we can't win with Nintendo here, like, we'll just move on and do something else. I don't know. Maybe later on, I definitely think they wouldn't be the PlayStation. Obviously, we assume the PlayStation wouldn't exist, but maybe you wouldn't have even had a PlayStation 2. Maybe it wouldn't have been until the PlayStation 3 where Sony would finally jump into the market by itself. So,
correct.
You know, obviously, with this never happening, it really affected Nintendo a lot. PlayStation, every PlayStation console has dominated up until, I guess I would say, the Wii. The Wii was a big-time seller, but you know, the PlayStation has dominated, and they haven't had a lot of trouble from Xbox, especially this generation. The PS4 is destroying the Xbox One. So, I kind of wish they did launch, because it really did hurt Nintendo over the years. But that's a good question, Tim. Next question, MechaDragon 101, one of our favorite dinner table participants. Dads for the next Dads After Dark. I got one. What sexual position? It's been a while. One of these, huh? Mm. What sexual position would you do with what Nintendo character?
Oh,
ooh, this is a tough one.
I mean, it's pretty simple for me. I think we know this. I mean, I'm going to beat the dead horse. Of course, it's the Wii Fit trainer. But I think I'd let her change it up a little bit. I think I'd like tell her, you know, with her flexibility, I'd probably have her put her legs like behind her head. Maybe do like a little pretzel-ish type style. Give that a good go.
Is that a position? The pretzel?
It's got to be. That's a good Google.
You got to dip the cheese in it. You know, for one glorious second, I forgot about Wii Fit Trainer. And was just wonderfully surprised by it. I'm so glad I didn't expect that out of you. That was wonderful. I gotta say.
Yep, that's exactly what I. Yep, that's it. Let me see if I did like a PG-13 version of it. So I didn't post it.
What is it? Oh, what is it? I'm imagining it's oral sex, but then you cross your legs.
No.
While the person is still there.
Let me get a picture for you. Well, right. The one I got was very raunchy. I don't know if you would like to see. I mean, it's porn on my computer right now.
Not your work machine. I will go with my favorite sexual position, the 69, right? So we were starting there. So now the question becomes, what Nintendo character?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just, look, I'm not going to go Wii Fit Trainer or Dixie Kong or something weird, right? I'm just naturally going to tend towards like a humanoid, okay? So I think it would be either Samus or Bayonetta. I just think that'd be cool. I'd feel dominated by either one, right?
Oh, yes.
I mean, it definitely feel, like, especially if Samus is like, well, she's in her Zero suit.
That's going to be difficult.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if she's in, I don't know. Bayonetta does still scare me, though. So I'm going to go with Samus. She's human enough, but I'm not terrified of her. And maybe we can have fun with her Blaster Canyon sometime.
Does that have something to do with your anal fishes or whatever? Oh, boy. I can't find a PG-13 picture of this position.
I don't want a PG-13 version. I want R-rated. I want X-rated.
All right.
Why are you trying to find a PG-13? Are you dropping this in the Dads After Dark?
No, 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 no.
All right.
Not yet.
Okay. I just sent the link. I'm going to click it. I'm really regretting this right now. I'm getting pretzels. Do we have different, like, search?
I'm getting pretzels. Hold on.
Oh, okay. I had safe search on. I didn't even know. Yeah, there. That's weird.
There you go.
It takes a flexible girl. Okay.
A Wii Fit Trainer it takes.
Yes, a Wii Fit Trainer. I think you're onto something. It's appropriate.
It is very. All right. I think we need to move on from this question so I don't get you fired anymore.
Okay. Next question is a really simple one. Nintendo Fit asks, Zelda or Peach?
Zelda.
I'm going to say Zelda. Peach seems very nice and whatever. I don't see her even being interested in sex at all. I don't know. But Zelda, I think
that's where you're wrong.
No? Oh. You think she's like one of those like really.
Oh, yeah. I think she's like a little bit into dominatrix.
Maybe.
I found a PG-rated picture that I can post.
That's just disturbing.
No, it's perfect.
Yeah, just post it in the group right now, and they'll have no idea. Maybe they'll listen to this episode and go, oh, that's why they posted it. So just post it out of context and see what happens.
That's it. I'm sure somebody will say something.
Next question, Mr. Tim Toussette asks, am I the only one that feels empty and emotionally spent after finishing a really long RPG or adventure game, like Xenoblade or Paper Mario or Tokyo Mirage Sessions? How do you fill the hole? that's his element. How do you fill the hole left by these long and sometimes emotional games? I'll answer this one first. Generally, the way I play games is I'll play one genre, and then when I finish that, I'm ready to move on to a different genre. So when I finish a long RPG, I almost undoubtedly will play some like 3-hour indie game or some platformer. I just can't do multiple RPGs. I will also say, usually by the end of a long RPG, I cannot wait to finish the game off and play something different, get into a different world, play with some different mechanics. I'm just done with it. And most recently, would I guess I would say, I mean, Xenoblade and Paper Mario were the two most recent. And I've played all three of these, Tokyo Mirage Sessions as well. And all three of them, I was just ready to move on. But yeah, like I said, just play something quick. You know, find an indie game or something and just, you know, move on. And then what you'll do is you'll find out after you play a quick game or two that you're then ready to soak up into, another big open world again. But you definitely can't go from one to the other. There's just no chance.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, Xenoblade absolutely did it for me. I felt empty after that game. But Paper Mario, I was okay. I was content. I never felt that it was too long and too short. But I'm the same way, John. I'm worse. I'll even take sometimes like a couple of days off and just say, let me just not play games for a little bit. Maybe I'll play a board game or something at night with the wife and just try to absolutely just not push video games away. But there's certain games sometimes that I do feel empty or emotionally spent where I was like, you know what? I just need like 3 nights of no games and I'm just trying to, you know, play a board game or do something, watch a movie or something. And then, like you said, I'll hop back into the opposite type of genre and go from there.
I agree with that. Yeah, you want to be satisfied for a little bit. If you just jump into a game that night, like you didn't get a chance to just decompress.
You know, at the same time, you just invested 50 to 100 hours in a game. Like, I kind of wanted to, like, linger a little bit and just say to myself, it sounds corny, but, like, almost reflect and be like, all right, what did I like about it and what did I not like about it? If you're trying to just jump into a new game, it's kind of like you put it behind you and like, that's it, it's done. Xenoblade is a perfect example because I love Xenoblade, but that game, the first one there that we just played, left me with some hindered moments, which I needed to reflect on, John. Needed to reflect.
It's kind of like if your wife dies in a car accident and then you're dating that night, you know? You just need to...
No, John, I don't think it's anything like that.
No? Okay. Jason B. Jason is the community manager over at Megadads. Jason B. asks, we're coming up on 2 years of Nintendo Switch Online, and many subscriptions are going to be ending in the next month. What can Nintendo do to entice people to renew? Let's start right there, and then I'll read what he wrote after. What do you think? What can they do? What can they do to make sure that people re-up for another year?
See, this is marketing 101, and Disney's doing the same thing right now that we're seeing Disney Plus coming to an end in November.
Disney.
You know, they'll do something. I don't think you're going to see anything happen before it expires, but they might. They could tease an announcement. I think now with every game, people don't realize that you need Switch Online. For a perfect example, the other day, playing My Societies in PGA Tour 2K. You know, that's just something you don't even realize that you need. But you need to pay that Switch Online fee if I want to join a society and go on my guild quest for golf. So I think people are going to say, I don't need that. And then they're going to just jump back into their game and they're going to go to play Minecraft Dungeon Online. They're going to go try to play, you know, PGA against somebody. They're going to go try to play a Fortnite game. And they're all of a sudden going to realize, like, oh, fuck, I can't play those games anymore. I need to resubscribe. So I think there's so many games already ingrained into us everyday gamers that we don't even realize it, and we almost take advantage of it. You know, a lot of us are saying, well, I don't even play the NES or Super NES games. I don't need this. Because a lot of people, I think, say, this is, you get those games if you pay this fee, but it's a lot more than that. And I think this 2 years, Nintendo's just been setting the standard with every other company and getting you on board to pay that fee. That's what I think. So will there be something? Maybe. But if there's not, I'm not really shocked.
Yeah, I am convinced that there'll be something. And the weird thing about Nintendo Switch Online is, like, besides a lot of people are down on it. And obviously the online has a lot of failures and whatever. But There's some really great games on there, and I always, there's all these games that I want to play. I want to play through Zelda, and I want to play through Adventure of Link, and for some reason, there's just all these modern games that are coming out that I'm like, I'm going to play that. But I really want to play all these games. Mm. I think there's a couple things I'd like to see, and I for one thing, and I am almost certainly sure it's going to happen, it was their strategy the first year, Tetris 99, right? Tetris 99 is a big reason why people will continue their subscription into the next year. You almost don't even need another game. Yep. You know, they're going to do all these tournaments and whatever. I think you'll see some cool Tetris 99 tournament come up besides the usual. I think you'll see some new themes or whatever. But I think there's going to be another game. I think they're going to make another free game available. I'm really hoping that it's Fall Guys. I don't know if it will be. I don't know if Nintendo even knew about it or what. But I wonder if there is a port, a Switch port of Fall Guys, and Nintendo is waiting until right before the annual subscription to release it. So I would be ecstatic if they put Fall Guys on there. I would play it constantly, but I already subscribed to it, and I would play it more. I know my kids would play it more. It's a real family-friendly game. So I'm hoping that they've got Fall Guys ready, and they're just delaying it for the week before. Mm-hmm. The other thing they can do is release some signature games, you know, the real signature games. And I really wish, because when you think about the NES signature games that aren't first party, because a lot of the first party games are already out. I think Castlevania, I think Contra. Both of those games do have collections, however, so I'm not sure if they, Konami and Capcom will, they're both Konami, if they're going to put it there. Both of those games have collections. But one nice thing about putting those there is that would whet the appetite of some people. Maybe somebody plays Contra on Nintendo Switch Online, and now they want to play the sequel. Now they want to play, Contra 3. So, and maybe those games will never be released on Switch Online, but that's fine. I think it kind of whets the appetite. Want to play more? Check these out. So I'd love to see a couple of those signature games come to the system. So Jason B. said, I hope we'll see a new console added to the NSO in September, but I'm anxiously waiting for any new content at all. I'm not sure about another console. They certainly could do TurboGrafx or something different or whatever. I'm not sure if we're going to see N64, but I think a lot of people would be really excited to see N64, so I'm hoping for it. Absolutely. I don't give a shit, though. Third eye mole. I don't know why I have third eye mole. You did that, you bastard.
No, I did not.
The mole. I didn't type that in. The mole asks, what's a small problem that can completely ruin an otherwise good game for you? For me, bad camera and bad hitboxes. Also, August 30th is my birthday, so I better win. Oh, happy birthday, mole.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday. This is an interesting question. What do you think? I got a few.
For some reason, Pine jumps to my mind.
God. Oh, it had one small problem.
One small problem, a game called Pine. I do hate, I'll be honest, there's no problem that really ruins the games for me. And I can say that because I finished Pine. But, there's not too much stuff. It's funny. I found that up until the last couple of years where I really started into video games, talking to you guys, this community, starting this podcast, I never really looked at games as like the developer side of it. I just looked at it from a consumer point of view, right? Where I played through a game, and if something didn't work, or if there was a glitch, like I didn't really think of it that way. I just thought of it like, oh, I don't know, I'm doing something wrong. But now when you look at it from the other side, like, well, no, that's like a game-breaking glitch or there's something. But I do agree with Mole in the aspect of, like, bad camera. I do hate when you can see, like, underground and and it's just the cameras are really screwy and weird like that. The other thing that bothers me, you don't see it too much nowadays. You see a lot of older PC games in Minecraft, actually, it happens a little bit. When you die and you respawn, sometimes you respawn in a game like almost in the same exact spot and it gives you like 20% health. And it's almost like, I'm still out of arrows. I'm still out of my recharges or my buffs or whatever it might be. There's no way I'm going to surpass this area. I'm at like this little mini boss and I'm all out of my stuff. So all I have is like, let's say my sword or hammer. What am I supposed to do to get by this? So games that do that really have a heartache for me because it's like, at that point, just kill me so I have to restart. Or you have to kind of force yourself to restart your ammo, maybe change your build or whatnot. But I've never liked that. I wish there was a way to maybe redo that part of it. I don't have a good answer of the solution, but that hurts me. What about you?
Technical stuff. I know technical stuff doesn't affect you as much. And I've never really run into like really bad cameras in like the old days sometimes. But for me, a small thing is reduced frame rate. I had this recently with XCOM 2. I was really excited to play it. And I got the Switch version. I knew it might not hold muster. But man, the frame rate was like below 30. And the graphics and the frame rate. And it kind of lacked a little bit of polish. I don't know. I just felt like from screen to screen, it was a little jerky. And I don't know. It just, I like a good polished experience. And I don't mind playing a game with like a 30, frame per second rate, but it just like when it just really dips and it's gross. And I don't know, that really ruins a game for me. Something that might ruin an otherwise great game is completion motivation. So I just finished a game recently called Carry On, and it's the reverse horror game where you're the big blob. And I had a real good time with it. And I was looking forward to like finding all the items in the game because there was these bonus items that you could find. And clearly, I didn't get them all. But there was nowhere in the game that I could see, and maybe I'm wrong, but that I could see, and this is just an example, that showed me how many I was missing. And there's nothing worse than when you're trying to do like 100%ing a game and they don't tell you either what you have or what's missing, or they don't give you a hint as to where it might be. So for example, in Burnout Paradise, they will actually tell you how many bulletin boards are in each area. It's not enough. If you say there's 120 bulletin boards in the game and this massive city, I'm going to be a little unmotivated to look, because when I get down to those last one or two, I could be miles away and I'm like searching every little corner. But if you have a smaller area and say there's 30 in this area and there's one that you didn't, now I have a much smaller search radius.
I like that.
And I know I'm not wasting my time. So the way games handle those completion bonuses is huge to me. And I will 100% a game. That's why I loved 100% the Mario games. They always do such a good job. Like, you think about the levels with the big coins. They don't tell you where they are, but you know that there's 1, 2, 3 in order. So if you have the first one missing, you know when you get to the second one that you already have, you know it's before that. Just stuff like that.
I agree with that. I 100%. Rather than just saying there's 100 coins to collect in World 1.
Good question, though. That was a really good question.
Yeah.
Blockfort Retro asks, we're about 6 months away from the Switch's 4th birthday. With generations lasting 5 to 7 years, it looks like we're approaching the Switch's twilight years. Any predictions for what Nintendo has planned?
I'm gonna say the simple answer, and I truly feel strongly about this, is that I think that we see the Switch and the idea of the Switch stay around for a long time, and I'm gonna compare it to the longevity and kind of the same life flow as, let's say, the DS, where you're going to see evolutions of the Switch continue to evolve for the better. Just like you saw, like the DSi, the 3DS, all of that. I think the Switch is here for a good, I hate to say it, 10 to 13 years. And I think it's just going to continue to evolve in a way. That doesn't mean a Switch Pro can't come along or things like that. But the idea and concept of the Switch, I truly believe, is going to remain for a 2-generation gap.
I think so. I think we've been talking about the end of the console generation. I think a lot of people thought the PS4 and Xbox One would be forever systems. And I think in some aspects that's true. I mean, the Xbox is doing a lot of their next gen games that, and they'll also work on the Xbox One. But, you know, they're both launching new consoles, and, you know, say what we want about the PS5 and that it, you know, is likely going to have PS4 backwards compatibility and all that. You know, I don't know. There's going to be a lot of PS5 games that aren't on the PS4, and you need to buy that console. So, I mean, I think that prediction is just wrong. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's backwards compatible, but people wanted forwards compatibility, and we're not really going to see that. So I think the Switch as a console portable, we're going to see that, like you said, for like 12 years. Probably, we're probably going to see this concept until the concept of a console is dead, when maybe we're completely cloud gaming or something like that. I do think Nintendo consoles tend to be about 5 to 6 years in between, very consistently. And, you know, we're about to be 4 years in. We're getting close. And the PS5 and the Xbox Series X, they're going to have graphics that are just going to blast the Switch away. And the Switch is really barely able to keep up with the current gen, right? There's games that have come out that just don't look nearly as good.
I mean, PGA Tour, I'll be honest, it's not great.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when the next gen comes out, I mean, how much work are they going to put into porting some of these games that come out in the next gen? So I think Nintendo needs to think about iterating now. And really, they don't have to iterate much. What I would like to see from like kind of a Switch Pro is backwards compatibility with a Switch, definitely. Right? It has to be something where they're still making Switch games. And I would like to see that most Switch Pro games work on both consoles, that they're not exclusive. There can definitely be some exceptions, but I'd like to see the Switch Pro really be like a system that's maybe even more expensive than a Switch. I mean, that'd be fun. I'd pay $400. I'd probably pay $500 for one, but they'll never do that. But $400 for, you know, an iteration of the hardware, that hardware that they can probably sell for $200 now if they wanted to, I would pay for it and be able to play Breath of the Wild in a better frame rate without the slowdown in some of those areas. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
The problem you run into is like the same problem I had with Tomb Raider on Xbox One. They limited the frame rate because they didn't want the frame rate to drop too much. Mm-hmm. And then years go by, the Xbox One X comes out, and now it's capable of doing Tomb Raider at 60 frames a second, but it doesn't because the developers locked it. So that doesn't mean games like Pine, Drew, will play any better. The graphics won't look better because they've already reduced the graphics. And are they going to come back and fix it? No, they're not. So it won't help sometimes, but, you know, knowing Nintendo, they probably would upgrade all of their older games to take advantage. So that's what I'd like to see. And I would like to see it on their fourth birthday. I really feel like this year four has got to be the Switch Pro. I think it's been rumored every single year since the second year.
Yeah.
I think this is the year we'll get it. And I want to buy it so badly. and I did hear rumors, and these are the same fucking rumors that are always wrong, but that they're going to release Breath of the Wild 2 and the Switch Pro at the same time and have a bundle. Yep. And my God, if they did that, fuck. Yeah. Oh my God, that'll be one of the hardest pieces of hardware in history to find.
Agreed.
I'd love to see that. Good question. Datfast asks, hey, Dads That Finish. Well, hey, Datfast. Do you keep up with your backlog? How do you deal with it? And how do you choose what you're going to play next? Do you have a good system or is it random? I'd like to answer this because I'm very formal, as you know,
you
Drew.
You are. You are.
I maintain my backlog in Trello, and I'm often asked why. Is it because I'm OCD? You know, yes, I'm probably a little OCD, but there is a reason why I do it. The reason why I put all my games in Trello and separate them out is because there's a lot of games that come out, and if there's a game that I see that I really want to play, I feel like I need to write it down somewhere.
What is Trello?
Trello is a very general project management system that can be used for software, but can be used for anything. So you make a Trello board, and you can make a bunch of like lists. And so, for example, my backlog has, I have a list of ideas for playing. So these are where I put all the games that look interesting to me that I want to play. mm-hmm. and I'll put it on there. And I actually put, I make a little card and I put the name of the game. I put the system that I want to play it on, and I put an animated GIF of the game. So when I look at my board, all these little GIFs are animating, and it's fun. I only ever send you the screenshots, but I never send you the animated GIFs. Then what I do is I have a real backlog. So I have, I call it current hype, and I only put up to three games. And these are the three that I am the most excited about from the backlog. And it just keeps them kind of separated. And so right now, the three games in my backlog I'm most excited to play right now, for example, are XCOM 2, A Short Hike, and Hyrule Warriors.
Now, Hyrule Warriors.
I used to be strict about when I put a game on the backlog that I had to play it. Now I keep it so that I can take games off. If I decide, you know what, I don't want to play that, I can take it off. And then I was strict about the three games in current hype. Once I put it there, it gets played. And even now I don't. These are just the three that I'm most excited about. But who knows? Hyrule Warriors, maybe I'll just lose some excitement for.
Well, yeah. I mean, shit, whatever I say is pretty much useless compared to that explanation. The key to keeping up with a good backlog, Dadfest, is to not have one. Simple as that. I don't deal with one, and I simply choose one game at a time. It's actually very rare that I'm playing two games at a time right now. Very rare. I usually play one game. That's it. I play it till it's done. The problem with this is I don't play as much as somebody, you know, I might get my 40 to 50 hours in a month, which is probably a good month for me. But if I'm playing a game that's 100 hours and it's going to take me 2 months to play it, the problem is if something comes out in those 2 months, there's a good likelihood that I might skip it unless it's a major, you know, title, Nintendo published game. Mm. So I end up missing a lot of games, and I have to kind of choose smartly because I just don't have a lot of time to play them, right? So, and the problem with me, John, is I love those long games. If you look at the games I play, I'm going to say over 50% probably are those longer, 50-plus hour RPGs in some sense. So it's a difficult thing to juggle. I don't have a system because I usually have a radar. I won't say I don't have a system. I keep a simple Excel sheet. If a game comes out with a date in the future, I usually put it on there and I try to play them. And that way, if I get in a jam or I know mine's coming, I kind of look at the sheet and say, hey, what's coming out in the next few months? And I'll try to plan accordingly. Like, all right, well, if I play Xenoblade now, I'll be done by then. I can play that. Right now I'm playing these two games, but these games are both kind of sporadic where what's next for me? Right. And then there's nothing next for me. So we'll see.
Yeah. No, I think the one thing I would say about backlogs is to Dadfast is don't stress about it. Don't feel like if the game's on your backlog, you have to get to it.
Yep.
Yeah, I sometimes look at my backlog and I go, God, there's like 20 games on it right now. But that's great. It's like I know that they could stop making games today and I have 20 great games that I want to play. Mm-hmm. Don't stress out about it. And I look forward to starting I can't wait to start A Short Hike. I'm not stressing about it. I just know that'll be really exciting to start playing that one. That'll be really exciting to start playing XCOM, which I think I just got in the mail today. Just don't stress about it. It's good. It's good to have a backlog. Don't feel stressed. If a new game comes out, play the new game. You don't have to worry about your backlog. Just know that those games are always there for you. Next one, Capital Zero Games asks, are there any games that you got most of your playtime in during stay-at-home sick times? For example, I played through a very large chunk of Xenoblade 2 while homesick from work for a week. Does that change your perception of the game at all? I'm not sure if he's talking about stay-at-home sick times. I don't know. I thought he was talking about like kind of COVID times. But if you're just like home from work, if you take like, I know you and I have done that, where you take a few days off from work into the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
What are some, big games that you've played?
Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way because you stay home whether you're dying sick or you feel great and you wanted a day for yourself. It never works that way with kids at home. But every once in a while, you do get a game or two that you get to play 6 hours or 8 hours in a day. But for me, it doesn't change too much to the answer the question. I would say it doesn't like you get too much for once or anything like that. But nothing really jumps out at me that I can think of. To be honest, the big games that I get to play together, again, not home at sit times, but Paper Mario is a good example where we talked about it earlier, where my family kind of wants to watch or join in the fun. That kind of makes it fun for me. It actually, I think, makes the experience better. You know, when Paper Mario was out and it was all a COVID everything, it was an absolute blast to stay home all day with the family and like play 4 or 5 straight hours of Paper Mario. So for me, it actually is more fun in that sense, where it kind of is creating a moment and special, you know, special occasion.
Cool.
What about you?
Late last year, it was October. I was working at Schwab for about 5 months, and I was going to transition to my full-time job. I work at Aetna. And I took a couple days off. When I go between jobs, sometimes I just Friday to Monday. And I was like, okay, I want to take a couple days off to myself. And honestly, it had been the first time in a long time that I had just taken a couple days off for myself. And so I took a Thursday and a Friday off. And that Thursday, I decided to marathon a Link's Awakening. It was a game that had come out the previous month. I hadn't gotten to it. And so I marathoned it. I had a blast. I woke up at like 5 in the morning and started. I played through till 5. I played a little more that night. And then the next morning I finished it. So it was cool to like play through a game in 24 hours. And now that I have PTO, I used to be a consultant. So now I have PTO. Every so often I plan a couple days off or whatever. And I always make a little schedule for myself because I can't just sit and do nothing. You know, I've got some things out with some, you know, computer concepts I want to study and whatever, but I always have a game that I'm going to start fresh, usually a big game. And the last time I did this, I played The Last of Us on PS4 and just played through that game over the span of like that. 4 or 5 days. Had a blast. Loved it. I'll be doing that again probably next month or so. I'm not sure what I'm going to play. It's always really fun. I was going to do it with Spider-Man recently, but I decided not to. I do want to play through Last of Us 2. Just in terms of games that I would play if I was just really sick and just wanted to pass the time and, you know, didn't want to start something, Slay the Spire comes to mind. It's a roguelike card game. It's a little longer than just like a roguelike where you might play and die in like 10, 15 minutes, like Enter the Gungeon or something, for me anyway. But the game you could play a game over 2 hours. And then it's done and whatever. And I just really love that game. So that's kind of a game I'll always go back to when I just have a couple hours and want to play through something but don't feel like starting something new. Always on the Switch. For like sick time, because you could sit in bed and stuff like that. I am not going to sit and stare at a TV sitting in an upright position and play. It's just not going to happen. So Switch is a nice homesick thing. Siri, nobody talk to you, Siri. Siri, stop. All right, next question, Brian S. Go Braves. What could Nintendo do with the next iteration of Mario Kart to bring new life to its mostly unchanged formula? Any wild and crazy ideas that would excite you the most? Good question. He says, I want to see custom cups in addition to predefined cups and EXP and skill points for character stat upgrades. Ooh, he's really thinking out of the box there.
Yes.
I mean, that's almost like thinking like an RPG. You know, the current Mario Kart, I like unlocking stuff. And like the very first Mario Kart didn't have that. So the unlocks for Mario Kart 8 are like with coins, and that's a little bland, but at least it's just a way to unlock things over time. I've been thinking about Mario Kart and Smash Brothers the same way. Both versions, the current iterations of the game on Switch, are really the ultimate versions. From a Smash Brothers point of view, all the characters, all the stages, all of that. This is like as far as they can go with this formula. They can't make another Smash Brothers.
Correct.
And just add a couple new characters and have it be the same thing. I think this is the burnout.
Agreed.
And look how much it's sold. I mean, everybody has it. So you're going to have a ton of people who have played this game and they do not want a small iteration of it.
Yeah. So I think what would be a huge selling point is to do a story mode. And don't make it just about races, but add some type of new element where you talked about Burnout open concept, open world rather. Oh. And I've always loved the idea of Rush 2, because that was such a childhood memory of mine, going around and collecting stuff. So in Rush 2, they had this mode where you could play any level and you go to practice mode. And it's just you and, you know, unlimited time. And within each level, there's like 15 keys that are hidden throughout the entire level. Now, you might have to go through shortcuts off the beaten path, and you find these keys. And every, like, four keys you found, you unlocked a new car. So something along that line. But more of a, I think you should have a story mode where you're playing through a story. Maybe, you know, Nintendo's great at putting some type of story in there. You'd have races, and inside those races, you'd have a type of mini games, all kart related, and then also maybe have some type of open world exploration in a car. You know, think about like Mario Sunshine. You know, your Delfino Plaza, that entire level. Imagine if you could drive around that entire level in a car, open world format, where you're looking for hidden things within that level. You know, it's just a little side thing, and it goes back to your unlockable thing. The point of it is to get some type of unlockables, right? You know, every open world level has 10 things you have to find. Right. That's what I think could be a huge... now, that's just an addition to your normal cups and races and all that other stuff. But I think it'd be a huge selling point and really dive hours into that.
I think it's a good idea. Didn't Diddy Kong Racing do that? I think that was one of the draws to it. Same concept.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
Yeah, I don't know if I want to see a story mode, but I want to see Mario Kart from a different perspective, maybe a little closer in, maybe like in the engine. I know the arcade version has a much different look.
It does.
I'm not sure I'm saying I want that, but I feel like I've gotten used to the same look, and I might want something a little closer to modern racers, maybe a third person that's right, you know, where your vehicle is bigger on the screen. I don't know. It's... I definitely would like to see something better. I like progression. I'd like to see something improve over the gold coins as a progression. I'd love to see achievements. I'd like to see a list of like 100 things you can do, like maybe find the shortcut in this level, or do like 3 skids in the lap or something like that, to make each level sort of repeatable. I would love to do that. Having 100 achievements I'm trying to nail right now, I'm thinking about it, and I'd be like, oh yeah, I'd be playing a ton. To do it. I'd love to see some more online, maybe some one-on-one races you can do online with people instead of regular stuff. You know, just something like that. Just some variety. I think Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is just so good. It's time to move on and do something a little bit more different. So,
agreed.
Good question. Good thoughts. Two more questions to go. Trucker Sloth. There's a new name for us. What are the odds that we'll not only get a 35th Mario Anniversary Collections, but that they'll also celebrate next year with a 35th Annual Zelda Collection? And if so, what do you think will be in both collections? Whoa. I will go on record first and say, I don't think there's going to be a 35th Anniversary Mario Collection this year. I know that's been the hot rumor.
I agree.
I do not see Nintendo packaging a whole bunch of Mario games. What I do see is them re-releasing certain games in maybe a different style. So maybe they redo Super Mario Brothers and just upgrade the visuals a little bit and make it just one of those really like hyper 8-bit games that looks really great. I can definitely see the real remaster of Mario 64 because we've never really gotten a real remaster of that. We got the DS version, but for the most part, it looked the same. It wasn't that different.
It's portable.
I would love to see that. I would love to see a Mario Galaxy release to the Switch as well, maybe. But yeah, I don't know what we're going to get from that. I think that the closest thing you can think about is like a Mario All-Stars. And I just don't know if Nintendo is going to repackage a Mario All-Stars. I'm really curious. I think they will do something, but I just don't think that's really what we think it's going to be. In terms of Zelda... Honestly, it's not my favorite game, but I really do want to see Skyward Sword come to Switch. It's the only game that's trapped on one system. And the Wii is one of those systems. I love the Wii, but I don't want to play games on the Wii anymore. I don't like, you know, the AA batteries. I don't like having to get the sensor bar right and calibration of the Wii Motion Plus. I don't like it. I hated that they use those controllers for the Wii U. I wanted something different. I wanted something new. I don't like using my Wii anymore, so I'm done with it. But I do want to see Skyward Sword. It's just a game I want to play again. They've re-released everything else. I'd like to see that. And I'm trying to think of, you know, the 3DS games I really like, Link Between Worlds, but I really don't need that next year at all. It's still playable on 3DS. Yeah. Adventure of Link is a game I love. I really think I would love to see a remaster of the original Legend of Zelda. We haven't seen anything done with that. And that was the first game. So I think that would be a great way to celebrate 35 years is just maybe not a Link's Awakening like toy look, but something different, a little snazzy, a little updated, but still keep the same form and everything. Just improve the graphics, make it look slick. But just give me the same game. Give me the Master Quest. Maybe make a third quest, you know, maybe here's a third way to play. Let me play a Zelda and I rescue Link just for fun. just some stuff like that. I think that's what I think I would like. If I just got that, if I just got a new Legend of Zelda with new stuff, achievements, everything, I'd be super stoked for that. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think we'll see that, unfortunately. I think if anything, you'll see a port of Skyward Sword of some sort like that. I don't think we're going to see a remake, especially after Link's Awakening. I know it did well, but I don't see them redoing another game like that. For the 35th, I think we'll see maybe Skyward Sword port and maybe Breath of the Wild 2 next year. As far as the Mario stuff goes, I don't know. Again, I don't think it's anything new. I hate to say it. I think it's going to be, if there is some type of anniversary, I think it's going to be ports of those or remastered, but not just enhanced graphics. I don't think it's like a built up from like Link's Awakening was. I can't really see them wasting resources on that. As much as it would sell, I just don't see that happening.
But didn't you just answer your question? As much as it would sell. Yeah, I think they can waste their time on that. real quick, what's your favorite Mario game?
Mario 2.
Oh, yeah?
I just love the uniqueness. I love that it introduced so many characters that we learned to love that have continued into the entire series. You know, you think about, like, what did Mario 2 have? And then even Mario 3 kind of skipped, you know, a lot of, like, the Shy Guys and Birdos that we didn't see even in Mario 3, but then they eventually reappear, and now they're staple characters.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
And some of them, unfortunately, didn't make it. But
I can't remember what's the item, but you threw it on the ground, the little potion, and then you got into, like, the dark world, and there was, like, little secrets.
Yeah.
And it was, like, a game you could just drag that potion to all these different places to see what you might find, and made it, like, almost limitless.
Yeah, you had to know where to place them.
Yeah. Kevin L.A. asks, he's in our gaming group, by the way. I just saw him yesterday. Nice. He gave me that coral Nintendo Switch Lite box to complete my collection. I will point out that he does work for Nintendo. Yeah, so I'm so jealous of him. He showed up to the...
I like his statement then.
Oh, well, he showed up to the swap meet with a Tom Nook, like, shirt, button-down shirt, the little island shirt.
Yeah.
It's like, man, living the dream, man. Kevin L.A. asks, Nintendo is all about surprises, and I love it. I think it adds to their charm. If you had the chance to know all of the upcoming games, console, and release dates for the next 5 years, would you take it or prefer the surprise?
Great question. That is a great, great question.
Also an easy question.
I don't want to know.
Nope. Yeah.
No, thanks. I'm out.
I think that's part of the charm of Nintendo. Like you said, the only thing I wish is I just want the directs back. They are still doing branded directs, but they're like direct mini, indie direct,
goes to show the famous saying that directs aren't dead, right? If directs were dead, they wouldn't be doing anything. So it's not like they don't have resources to create them. They are creating directs, whether they're called showcases, indie directs, they're doing them. Right. What it shows is that Nintendo is either working on something big with all their resources, or they cut their costs and focused on third parties, you know, and support. Right. So, but I don't think it means they're dead. I just, they don't have anything right now to show.
We just want the real one. If you, honestly, if you told me that Nintendo, that the Direct is not dead, it's just, they haven't done one in a while, but they're not dead, I would be so excited, because they're like little Christmases. When they announce it, I'm seriously, it is like Christmas. I cannot wait.
The big thing, too, to remember is Nintendo Directs, when they all kind of started, they showed all types of games, right?
Right.
We have now branched to the way where there's sub-directs. So if there ever is a direct, I'm assuming it would be all first-party games. You know, whether it's Nintendo developed or Nintendo published might be two different things. But where in the past they would have a couple games, big games, then they would throw indies in there, another big game, an indie. That's not going to be like that anymore if they do ever have these. Because they already have those. They have these mm-hmm. showcases and indies. So I don't think they're dead. It's just a matter of when they're ready.
I can't wait. I just can't wait. All right. That was all our questions.
Thank you. That was a blast. Fun. Thank you for everybody reaching out. Yeah.
That was fun. I think we'll definitely do it again. Sometimes we skip questions, and that was a good time. So, all right, let's get to this contest then. I think people want to know who's won their $10 eShop card.
I want to know. So
I am going to pick a random number from 1 to 12. I'm going to click the button several times, and now I'm going to click it one more time. And the winner of the first $10 eShop card is Nintendo Fit. With their question, Zelda or Peach?
Wow.
Congratulations.
Yeah, congrats. So,
if you ask that question, reach out to me. We're going to give you until the next episode. So you need to reach out to me. We're not going to announce these. These are announced right here. So you have to listen. This is how we make sure we don't have just contest junkies. Phonies. So. Yes. You have until our next episode to reach out. If not, we're going to just figure out a way to award it again. So contact us any way you want to. And congrats. We'll get you your prize right over. I have them sitting right next to me. Ooh. And now we had 17 retweets, Drew. That's a lot.
That is a lot. Proud of
I'm going to pick a random number.
Proud of you, John. Proud of you.
I'm going to pick a random number between 1 and 17. Click the button a few times. I'm going to click it one more time. Whoa, the random number is 17. John Bassey 5 on John Twitter. Bassey. Congratulations.
Congrats, John. Woo.
Thanks for the retweets.
So reach out to us. John's going to reach out to us if he wants to claim that prize.
Yeah, he didn't post the question. He would have had a chance to win twice. But thank you, sir. So reach out to us. I hope you're listening. Like I said, you got 2 weeks to claim your $10 eShop credit. Congratulations.
Absolutely.
All right. I think it's time to wrap up there. We got to stay under 2 hours or Dan and Nick are going to give us shit.
I know. We've got to do that. So, again, this is super fast. Let's thank the Nintendo Dad, as always, for letting us be part of their amazing family podcast. And make sure you subscribe to us over in on all podcast feeds, really. But also, make sure you go over to Twitter, because that's how you win super cool contests like John just put on over here. And our Twitter handle is NDadsAfterDark. Send us questions, reach out to us, all that fun stuff. And remember, if you want to be part of all of our monthly Mayhem access, you do need to go over to the Nintendo Dads Patreon page and join them, which gives you full access to the Dads at the Dark channel. And that's all of us. That's it. That's us. That's it. Make sure you play Monthly Mayhem this month, the Metroidvania-style month of all of September. It's going to be a blast. John, what do we got going on the next 2 weeks?
Well, once again, Drew, fucking nothing. There is nothing fucking coming out.
Lovely.
The only thing happening over the next 2 weeks is fucking, because you're not going to be playing nothing.
Pretzel style.
There is nothing. I mean, there's a bunch of indie games, and I'm sure there's going to be some good ones. Look, but like, this is when I announced like kind of the recognizable titles that things were hyped for. And there's nothing. Final Fantasy Pikmin. Crystal Chronicles just came out to a resounding okay. Mm. And there's nothing on the board. We're waiting for Pikmin 3 right now.
I'm not waiting for it. You're waiting for it.
Oh, I'm waiting for it.
I'm not waiting for it.
So 2 more months on that. Just under 2 months now. So, yeah, fucking nothing. I'm hoping next episode there will be fucking, but hopefully not fucking nothing. So that's what we're going for. So make up your own games. Hit your backlog.
Good stuff. But well, thank you everyone for all of your amazing questions. This was a fun episode, like you said, John. I'm looking forward to the next time we do this. Remember to continue to reach out, remember to keep gaming, having fun, and tell a friend about us, right, John? Tell a friend, spread the word, let us keep showing. Hope we're entertaining you. But peace out from me.
Later, dads.